On the show today, John Goodman, fellow in healthcare at the National Center for Policy Analysis, is here. We'll talk about the impending Supreme Court decision on Obamacare, his new book about curing the healthcare crisis, and what a post-Obamacare reform environment will look like. I'm your host, Brad Jackson, and you're listening to the June 21st, 2012 edition of Coffee and Markets.
John, thanks so much for taking the time to join us this morning. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Glad to be with you.
Let me start off by asking you what you anticipate to come from the Supreme Court either today or within the next week or so in terms of what you expect the decision to represent.
I don't have any inside knowledge, but the betting on InTrade says there's an 80% chance that the individual mandate will be struck down. So I've noticed InTrade tends to be pretty accurate in its predictions, and so that's my prediction.
And in terms of what comes after that, there's all this speculation about sort of what Republicans and Congress will do, what the administration will do. Do you expect the White House, in a situation where the individual mandate was struck down, to propose anything to solve the problem, as it were, to try to fix it in some method? Or do you think that they'll essentially just say, you break it, you bought it?
You know, the Obamacare is sort of a Rube Goldberg contraption, and hardly anybody that looks at it thinks it's reasonable, rational health reform. It was designed by a lot of special interests. And if the White House has any sense, they will take this as an opportunity to sit down with Republicans and try to get a health reform that both parties can agree to. You can't reform a major institution with just one party.
John, what comes next after this? If the Supreme Court does strike it down, as you think they will, what's the next step for both Democrats and Republicans? What's the replacement, essentially?
Well, I always thought that if Barack Obama were smart, he would have said to John McCain, I want you and a Democrat to get together and recommend a health reform. because John McCain's health reform plan was more radical and more progressive than Barack Obama's. McCain essentially said, let's give every American a refundable tax credit. You get a certain number of dollars to buy health insurance, and that's all you get. You want a more generous package, you pay with your own money, and we'll treat everybody the same, and you'll get the same subsidy no matter where you get your insurance, whether it's at work or in the marketplace or in an exchange. And that's a reasonable way to reform healthcare.
John, one of the key aspects of the discussion within the Republican Party right now is whether they are really going to hold their members' feet to the fire when it comes to meeting their promises on full repeal. This is going to be a challenge, obviously, if Republicans barely take the Senate or are unable to. In a situation where things get really messy, there has to be something that's done here that tries to improve the system. How important is full repeal and starting from scratch when it comes to fixing these problems going forward?
Well, the Republicans in the House have already voted for full repeal, and I think they've done it more than once. Mm. And it's not a problem to get them to do it again. But that doesn't solve the nation's healthcare problems. And what we need is a way of honestly reforming healthcare. What Obamacare does is it takes $523 billion out of Medicare, and it has no way of making Medicare more efficient. So the only way you can get that money is by squeezing the doctors and the hospitals. The Medicare's chief actuary has said, hospitals will go out of business. Doctors won't be willing to see senior citizen patients. And so Congress is going to reverse all that, which is another way of saying that Obamacare was never really paid for. So what we need is a way to offer, as I said, every American a reasonable tax break for private health insurance, and it needs to be funded, and I think that's very doable.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of his proposal, Mitt Romney has put out sort of the outlines of what he intends to put forward in terms of a policy. Most people seem to expect that he'll be putting his full plan forward in the aftermath of a decision. And he's talked about the importance of tax equity when it comes to individuals being able to purchase health care. What's your favorite method of achieving that tax equity in order for people to have their health care, health insurance plan truly belong to them as being something that they're, as opposed to being something that their employer purchases?
Well, right now there is no tax equity. And if you get insurance at work, there's a generous tax subsidy if you're a middle-income family. If you buy the same policy on your own, you get almost no help from the government, so that's not equitable. Under Obamacare, the inequities get even worse, and you can have families at the same income level getting tens of thousands of dollars difference in subsidy. That's not equitable. There's nothing in Obamacare that makes health insurance portable. It retains the employer-based system. I think a reasonable way forward, again, is to give every American the same tax break, regardless of where they get their insurance, regardless of whether it's at work or away from work, and encourage employers to provide their employees with portable insurance. But don't have the federal government telling people where they're going to get their insurance. Don't have them telling employers what they have to do. Let the system then evolve. And I think that it will evolve in a way that most people will have portable insurance they can take with them from job to job, and it will be affordable.
John, how would that actually work? How would that work for people with you know, chronic conditions? How would that work for someone like that?
Well, you know, the employer community today is buying insurance for people with chronic conditions right now. At the NCPA, for example, the National Center for Policy Analysis, where I work, we have about 25 employees. We're able to buy Blue Cross group insurance, but we cannot buy Blue Cross individual insurance for our employees. So what I think we should be able to do here in Texas is buy individual insurance for our employees, but buy it the same way we buy group insurance. Get the economies of group buying, but the employees would then own the insurance.
Let's take a moment to thank one of our sponsors, and then we'll be back with the second half of our broadcast. Coffee and Markets is brought to you by Stephen Klaus & Associates, the preferred visual storyteller in major gifts fundraising. SCA produces high-quality, high-impact visual professional services for select charitable and political organizations, communicating stories to motivate breakthrough giving. Find SCA on the web at stephenklaus.com. John, do you think that out of the various plans that have been put out there for replacement, that there's one in particular that really shines to you as a way to proceed? And just as a second part of that, do you think it's important that whatever the Republican replacement be, that it's broken up between multiple bills as opposed to being sort of one massive one along the lines of Obamacare?
Well, at the National Center for Policy Analysis, we've outlined about 10 major reforms that are needed, and we have gotten the other major think tanks to go along with these reforms. And I even wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal with Newt Gingrich endorsing these reforms. It starts with getting the tax subsidies the same for everyone. It includes making health insurance portable, or at least encouraging portable insurance. It includes insurance reform so that we don't leave the insurance companies with perverse incentives to avoid the sick and underprovide them when they enroll. And these are the concepts are pretty straightforward. I don't think they're that complicated, and we don't need 2,700 pages of legislation to get it done.
John, I think that clearly when we look at the healthcare issue, this has been an incredible 3 years of fighting back and forth on this issue. When you look back, when historians look back at the decisions that President Obama made that led us to this point, how do you think that they're going to judge them, and how will you judge them?
Oh, this was a big mess. It proves that you cannot reform major institutions with one party alone. You need both parties to buy in. Also, I want to add that I have a new book out called Priceless, and I want everybody to know about this book because Priceless goes through the fundamental reforms that we need in Obamacare, you know, what it needs to be replaced with. And it explains why Obamacare is not going to survive on its own, and even if there were no opposition to it, and what kind of reforms we really need.
One
you
last
can get Priceless at almost any bookstore or on Amazon.
We'll be sure to link it, John. And one last question before I let you go. When it comes to the importance of healthcare reform going forward, and it's obviously an issue that you've been working on for the bulk of your career, are you optimistic about our ability to solve the challenges and the problems that we currently face as a nation with it? Obviously, we've all seen those scary charts that Paul Ryan has shown us. You know, do you actually feel optimistic about it after, in the wake of the coming decision and in the wake of the educational process that has happened over the last few years?
You know, I'm by nature an optimist, and I work at a think tank. Because I'm an optimist, and I think, you know, people try everything that won't work, but they eventually get around to things that do. The way we got health savings accounts, a lot of the business community, the insurance companies tried everything else, and then they decided, you know, the only way this is really going to work is to let patients control more of the money. So, yes, I'm an optimist.
John, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. I know you've had a busy morning. We appreciate it.
Glad to be with you.
Thank you.